Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Last Wednesday night, we considered a few verses of Scripture out of 1 Corinthians 2, and I felt impressed to just take where we stopped and go to the end of the chapter. Last time we had looked at verses 6 to 8, the Apostle Paul had declared that he and every other preacher of the gospel. In verse 7, he said, we speak. What we're preaching is the mystery of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now here's what I know about the preaching of the gospel. Is that first of all, it is, according to verse 7, it's the wisdom of God. I know that. I know it's the wisdom of Almighty God. And here's the second thing I know about it, according to verse 7, it's mysterious. That's what he said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And then thirdly, here's what I know about the gospel. It's the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. It's this message that we're preaching. Number one, it's derived from God. That's where it comes from. And it's distinguished. It's different from anything that man could ever conceive. And it's mysterious in that it's not obvious to the understanding of the natural man. And it's hidden in that God, you listen to what I'm saying. I'm about to read a scripture to prove this. It's a hidden mystery, a hidden gospel. It comes from God. It's hidden in that God has been pleased to keep secret from the wise and prudent of this world the glorious revelation of the gospel. Now, I'm gonna read the scripture in just a minute. God has been pleased to keep from those that think that they're so wise in this world, and that they're so able to figure out what God is doing. Almighty God has been pleased to keep secret this truth concerning the election of God and the Son as being the redeeming God of His people, and the Holy Spirit as the regenerating and keeping God of His saints. Now listen, I'm going to just hold your finger. I'll read this to you. It's Matthew. You know what I'm going to read. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. And concerning this gospel. Matthew 11. And verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. And listen to this conclusion of what the Lord Jesus Christ had thanked His Father for doing, for hiding these things from the wise and prudent. He says, even so, Father, verse 26, Matthew 11, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, somebody would say, well now, I just don't see how this message that is from God, I'll go along with you on that. And it's mysterious, I'll go along with you on that. But that it is declared by the Spirit of God to be a hidden message, hidden from the wise and the prudent. They said, now I can't go along with that. Well, I've got a question out of verse 9 for all of us. I mean, not just for you, I'm talking about all of us. Who are we? to reply against God. Who are we? I mean, you know what we are? We're born rebels against God. That's the bottom line. So therefore, if Almighty God declares that which is, you know what we would best do? We just bow and say, Lord, as you say things are, that's the way that it is. I can tell you for a fact, we have no right to question God, and He gives, the Scripture says, or He owes, no explanation to His creatures. You say, well, God, you're going to have to, you better explain to me what you're thinking with it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. In the words of Scripture, let every mouth be shut. And let all the world become guilty before God. Let me tell you what I am and what you are by nature. We're creatures that are totally at His disposal to do whatever He wants, in whatever way He wants, when He wants. All souls are mine. That's just the way it is. I'll tell you what's going on right now. Almighty God is ruling in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no man, this is in Daniel 4, if you want to read it, right there at the last of the chapter, and no man has a right to say to Him, what are you doing? Nobody. If Almighty God leaves a man or a woman to themselves to do what they want to do, and it's not according to these divers measures, and you know, not according to God's standard, let me tell you what's going to happen in the day of judgment. He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Listen, we ain't the ones calling the shots. I know that's kind of, you know, not exactly the way I'm supposed to say it, but you know, we don't tell God what God's going to do. God Almighty is the ruler. So Paul the Apostle says, he said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto His glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, last Wednesday, I'll just sum this up very quickly, and then I'm going to start in verse 9. None of the princes of this world, that is those that were there at the time and cried out for the Lord's blood, crucify Him, crucify Him. That's who He's talking about, which none of the princes of this world, for had they who? Well, the ones that wanted to crucify the Lord. That's what He's saying. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you know what happened? Let me tell you exactly what happened. They did exactly what they wanted to do. Do you think that's a true statement? Yep. Do you think that they accomplished God's will by doing exactly what they wanted to do? Listen to this verse of Scripture concerning that event right there. After the Lord was crucified, here's what the Apostle Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost concerning those that cried out for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to them, Him, that is the Lord, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, whenever they came and took Him, who determined beforehand that He would be taken? The Father. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. This is what He said. What you did, you did because that's what you wanted to do. But it was all according to the will of Almighty God. Therefore, which none of the princes of this world knew, they didn't know the Lord in saving grace. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Must He be crucified? Yes. Why? To redeem His people. His blood's going to have to be shed. In the wisdom of God, in the wisdom of God, Almighty God left them to themselves. The Lord thanked the Father for that. I thank thee, O Father, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. The problem is we don't know who we're dealing with. That's the problem. Man by nature thinks he's got God figured out. And I'm telling you, my friends, we don't. We don't. Men are lying on God, and they're telling men all you got to do is A, B, C, and God is just waiting with bated breath, hoping that you'll do something for him. No, sir. I'm telling you, I repeat that often. Brother Scott, you say, who's running this show anyway? God or us? Well, back in 1 Corinthians, the scripture says in verse 9, but as it is written, or therefore, it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now that's a quote out of Isaiah 64:4, and here's what that says. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. What this is doing right here, it's a continuation of what Paul the Apostle had just said concerning man's ignorance, spiritual ignorance by nature. And what Paul is saying here is that since the fall, no man has heard by the natural ear or seen by the natural eye, reading the scriptures or, according to their understanding, they have not figured out what God has prepared for those that wait by faith for him, you know. Now, I do know this, and I've done it. I've done it. I know this, we apply that scripture to the future state or glory of God's people. And I totally agree with that. I mean, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And we've never figured it out. And that's a true statement. But in the absolute context of that scripture right there, it's talking about man's inability to figure out Almighty God. So, but, verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. These precious truths that from the beginning, man has not been able to figure out by his own understanding. God Almighty has revealed those things. God has revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. If you hear what God has to say, and here's the evidence of a believer. A believer will read something or hear something preached in the Word of God, and it goes contrary to what he's always been taught. Here's what God's saying, and here's what I've always heard. It's the way I've always thought it was. And a believer hears something that is contrary, hidden things. What do you mean, hidden things? And a believer will hear that, and a believer says, God hides things. He agrees with God against himself. God has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit, by his Holy Spirit, because the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God who knows the depth. Not like he's looking for and trying to figure them out. That's not. It's he who alone thoroughly knows the deep things of God. How does he know the deep things of God? Because he's God. God, the Holy Spirit, the one who has intimate knowledge of Jehovah's perfection and purpose and wisdom and power. How does he know? Because he is Jehovah. He's God by his Spirit. Has been pleased to show frail creatures such as we are the unsearchable riches of his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. For what man, verse 11, knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Let me ask you something. What am I thinking right now? What am I thinking? You don't know. Why? Because I'm thinking them. I'm the only one that knows exactly what I'm thinking. Right now, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man that's in him? Nobody can tell what I'm thinking. How are you going to know what I'm thinking? I'm going to have to tell you. I'm going to have to reveal to you what my mind is thinking right now. That's the only way you're going to know. Okay? All right, the scripture says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. How am I going to know who God is? How am I going to know what God has been pleased to do unless God reveals them to me? And Almighty God has sent us His Word. And the Spirit of God takes this Word right here and reveals them to God's people. As a man stands up and faithfully proclaims, all I'm going to tell you is what God has to say. My opinion doesn't more matter than a hill of beans. It doesn't matter. But if I don't tell you what God has to say, the Spirit of God is not going to bless it to the salvation of any people. I can tell you that right now. The only thing that God Almighty is going to bless is what He has to say. Therefore, how do we know? How do we know what God thinks? What does this book say? What does this book say? Only by the Holy Scriptures are we ever going to know. Now, verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, we have received. Now, here we're reminded of something right here, that what we know about God, we've received that. We didn't come up with it. I mean, you leave a man or a woman to themselves and just let them try to figure out God. Let me tell you something. That's a fruitless endeavor. It ain't going to happen. But what have we received? The scripture says we've received not the spirit of the world. What does that mean? When you say the spirit of the world, it's that natural spirit, natural thinking, that natural spirit which rules and motivates an unregenerate. Remember when we were going through the book of Revelation? I told you, I said, now look, everybody and their brother's got all these kind of charts, and they've got, you know, dragons with, you know, 10 heads and stuff like this and all kind of, and I said, everybody's got an opinion. But if I can't prove from these scriptures what I'm saying is so out of that book, then it's just an opinion. And everybody's got one. What saith the scriptures? If you can't back it up with the scriptures, you have no basis for it. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. We have received and we're subject to what the Holy Spirit of God communicates. And if the Spirit of God blesses it to our hearts, let me tell you what's going to happen. We'll believe it. We'll believe it and rest our soul on it. And the reason for the Lord's teaching of His people, that we might know the things that are freely given. That is, gratuitously, bountifully, kindly, that are freely given to us of God. Did we deserve for God to teach us? No, sir. I'll tell you what we all deserved. Hell. That's what we deserved. Because every man is born in Adam. He's a sinner. If God Almighty hadn't put me in hell yet, it's by His grace and His compassion, His mercy. Human reason could never discover the deep things of God. You tell me how a man could set forth and figure out that the righteousness of God could be imputed, charged to my account, and God would accept it. You tell me how I could figure that out. You tell me how I could figure out that Almighty God, before the foundation of the world, chose to show mercy to me and put me before I was ever born, while I was continually before Him in His mind. You tell me how God Almighty, how I could figure out that He put me in Christ and that Christ has eternally stood as my surety. You tell me how I could figure out that. Tell me how I could figure out that I was predestinated, that God determined my destination beforehand to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. How? Who can figure out these deep things? Nobody. The Spirit of God's going to have to teach us. Look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. These things revealed by the Holy Spirit, things that we preach what we know to be so. We don't use it in verse 4 of this chapter. Paul said, I'm not using enticing words. That is, words that are used that are not according to these scriptures, but they're natural wisdom, man's wisdom by nature. Enticing words trying to persuade men with lies. What the Scripture does not set forth. Trying to manipulate somebody with enticing words. We don't do that. What do? You know, things which we speak, not the word which man's wisdom teacheth, verse 13, but which God's Spirit teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That is, what we do is we're going to explain the Holy Scriptures by the Scriptures. I'm going to prove the Scriptures by the Scriptures. I'm going to set forth what the Spirit of God says in the words of the Holy Spirit. We preach the gospel in the language of the gospel. What's the best interpretation of the Holy Scriptures? The Scriptures. God's Word. We prove Scripture by Scripture. I'm going to give you an example. Have you ever heard this scripture? John 3:16. Now listen to this scripture. For God so loved the world. Now listen to how many times the world is used in this scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, let me ask you something. What does the word world mean? Now, what I'm going to have to do here is I'm not going to be able to take that one verse right there till I start explaining to you what those words mean. And I'm going to compare that scripture with other scripture. And I'm going to try to, find out how does the Scripture interpret the Scripture? You say, well, I know exactly what that means. That means that God loves everybody. And that the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for everybody. Really? All right, well, let me ask you this. Let me read you another Scripture. All right? John 17:6. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest to me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Now just think about what I just read. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. All right, here's the world. And the Lord says, you've taken some men out of the world, and I've manifested thy name unto them. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Now we're going to have to come to a conclusion about something. That the Lord is speaking concerning those that he manifested his name to, the Father's name to, as far as being a particular group of people out of the mass of humanity. Now, if you come to any other conclusion than that, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Let me say it like this. I've got a congregation. There's a congregation right here. Now, I'm going to take a group out of this congregation. What does that mean? Well, you're going to take a few people, you know, you're going to kind of take some out of it, and I'm going to put them over here. And I'm going to talk to this group over here. When the Lord says, I manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, this is what he means. I'm not manifesting thy name to everybody. I'm manifesting thy name unto those that you've given me out of the world. Listen to this verse 9, same chapter. I pray for them. Who? For those given by the Father out of the world. I pray not for the world. And do you know I looked this word up? It's the same word every time. It never changes, Neil. It's the same word. Obviously, when he says, I pray not for the world, he's talking about those that were left after he took some out that the Father had given him. I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now here's what I know. Almighty God has set forth concerning back in John 3:16, when it says, for God so loved the world, it can't be everybody. Because some of them has been given to the by the Father to the Son out of the world, and the Lord prays for them. When we look at the word world, you best let Scripture back up Scripture and find out exactly what's being spoken of. Because the word world means order, arrangement, ornament, or adornment. And it, depending on its usage, it may mean the dirt. When he says the world, it may mean that dirt. It's that word means the same thing. Or it could mean the human race of mankind, or it can refer to a particular group out of the mass of humanity. So when somebody says, I believe in John 3:16, I do too. But don't jump to a conclusion just because you think it means everybody. I believe Jesus Christ died for everybody. Died for everybody's sins. Well, the Lord said in John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then in verse 24 of that chapter, he told a group of Pharisees, when they said, well, why don't you be plain with us and tell us what you're saying? He said, I told you, and you believe not because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So we understand something. Paul says concerning preaching, he says, the things which we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Next time somebody comes and tries to prove something to you, they better be able to back it up with Scripture, with other Scripture. But the natural man, verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, as man is born in Adam, they're the things of God, and a natural man does not receive them. He doesn't believe them. He doesn't love them. He doesn't appreciate them. He don't obey them. You let a man stand and proclaim the things of the Spirit of God clearly as God proclaims it, and the natural man, the unregenerate, you know what he's going to say? That's foolishness. That's absolutely foolishness. That's silly. That's absurd. That's distasteful to me, and it's stupid. That's what he's going to say. That's what he's going to say. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, what does that mean in closing? Well, I have one more verse after this, but the man that is spiritual, that's what he's saying. He that is spiritual, that man which is born again, regenerated by the grace of God, judgeth all things. That means he discerns and appreciates all things. Not all things without, you know, any limit. I mean, I don't understand stuff like computers. Ask Linda how much I know about a computer. I don't know anything. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it's broken. I don't want to figure it out. I can't figure it out. I don't know what to do. But when it says all things, that is all things necessary for salvation. I took what I'm about to say right here, and I put this in the bulletin. How much did the repentant thief on the cross know? How much did he judge? That's what the word judge means, to discern. You know, he that is spiritual judgeth, he discerns. How much did he judge? How much did he discern? Well, I tell you what he did. He judged this. Now, he's hanging on a cross. And so, therefore, I know this. He's guilty. He figured that out. He's caught. He's condemned. He's helpless to help himself. And he's about to die. He judged that. All right? And he cried unto the Lord for mercy. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And according to the word of the Lord, that judgment, that discernment of that thief right there was everything. He discerned all things necessary for salvation. Because the Lord said to him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. How much did he know about election? Nothing. I'm sure he knew nothing. But he knew this. I'm a sinner. And he's the Savior. And I cannot help myself. Well, why don't you just walk the aisle? I can't. I'm dying. Lord, help me. I'm going to perish. Remember me. He that is spiritual judgeth all things necessary for salvation. Yet he himself is judged of no man. What is that? That means the believer, the one that discerns all things necessary for salvation, he knows this. I'm the one is sinning against God, and God's going to have to save me because I can't do anything to help myself. Yet he himself, that sinner, he's judged of no man. The believer's feelings, the believer's principles, his views, his hopes, his fears, his joy cannot be understood or appreciated by the natural man. The believer judges or knows all things needful for salvation, but the unregenerate can't discern what that believer knows and believes and loves. He can't. A man without the Spirit of Christ cannot comprehend the principle that moves a believer. What that is, they can't figure out why a believer thinks like he does. The unregenerate will never figure a believer out. A believer will tell them salvation is by the grace of God apart from any works of righteousness on our part. And an unbeliever will say, I can't figure that out. How can you believe that? A believer says that's for you. Last verse. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Lord's taught his people. They're convinced of what God's taught them. And for an unbeliever to tell a believer, for an unbeliever to tell a believer that the things of God that are revealed in this book right here, that Almighty God has taught you something that's false, when an unbeliever tells a believer, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to tell you something. I can't go along with you. What that unbeliever is saying is, I believe God's wrong. That's what he's saying. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who does an unbeliever think he is that he's going to instruct God Almighty? That natural man, he can't instruct God. He can't instruct that believer that's taught of God. An unbeliever cannot tell a believer, you're wrong. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. We have been taught of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in those scriptures. And a believer can come to an unbeliever and say, now listen to me. What you're believing right here is absolute foolishness. What you're believing is foolishness. I know, I see what you're saying out of this book right here. An unbeliever will say to the believer, that's absolutely foolish. And I'm going to tell you something, that unbeliever can talk till he's blue in the face. And he will never convince a believer that he's wrong. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. We've been taught what God Almighty has revealed concerning his Son. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.